Many times we enjoy looking back through our pictures from our kids as they've been growing up, and these pictures, they display images for us that many times will make us laugh or make us cry or just smile about those moments, and we'll remember those moments. And back when I was very young, they were just starting to come out with video cameras. And they were coming out with them, and so gradually we've seen a shift from taking still photography to taking videos. And so we pop a video in, and we've done that as well, and we watch it, and there's just a little bit more interaction. There's more emotion that's connected. Why is that? It's because we're hearing things now, and we're seeing things moving. The memories become more vivid. And what we see in this passage that we're looking at in the book of Ephesians is the Apostle Paul is taking the profound message of the grace and the love of God, and he's laying it out for us in a multifaceted way to kind of bring it to life, to kind of make it more vivid for us to realize, indeed, this is God's grace. Indeed, this is what God's love really is. And we've talked about, in Ephesians 2, and that's where we're going to go, we've talked about how we once were apart from God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. Dead. We were dominated by this world, the flesh, and the devil. That's all we knew. And our future? Damnation. Complete separation from God forever. God's wrath and judgment upon us. We were called children of wrath. So I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to continue down through this passage. And I'd like you to see how the Apostle Paul is going to build for us a 3D image. An image for us that we can more vividly understand the incredible grace, love, and mercy of God. So Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 again, because I always love the Word of God in context. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It goes like this. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now back to verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Paul is setting up the sphere in which we are going to discuss what God has done in our in saving us. And it's all in the sphere of his great love. None of us could deny we have a God of infinite love. He is a great, great God who has a great, great love. With that being the sphere, that love, we notice these three things. Look at your Bibles, and I want you to notice verse 5. Verse 5, we see the first one. Even when we were dead in sins, okay, so that's the contrast. God loves us, but we were dead in our sins. But God, here's the first thing, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened is not a word that we use in our language today, but it's a word that means to be made alive. Made alive. And in this word, in this passage here, it's combined with the preposition with. So we've been made alive together with. And together with Christ. Now, as we look at this, and as God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is ministering here to our hearts, we're understanding what God is doing in our lives. And the first thing we're seeing here is God has made us alive. We were dead, and God has given us life. All of these things are centered upon Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about Jesus Christ for a moment. Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect sinless life. He was condemned to death upon the cross. He died. He was buried, but then he was made alive once again. He was given new life. He rose again. And what we're seeing in this text is something that the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to believers, to Christians, people that have professed to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he's reminding them, this is how you once were. You were dead. But this is what God has done, even when you were dead. And it reminds us, Romans 5:8, but God shows his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us, showing us his love. And God, then he rose again. Jesus rose again. And that is why it's so very important when you share the gospel to include the resurrection. Because it is the resurrection that makes all the difference. It is the resurrection that gives power to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it shows that we serve a God who is alive. Now, dear ones, I want you to take this to heart and think about this for a moment. You were once dead. Spiritually dead. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You were dead, separate from God. But because of his great love and his mercy, if you are a believer here today, you have been made alive. You have been given life. And that is with, in conjunction with Jesus Christ, because he is alive. Now, I want you to realize, to be dead spiritually is to be separate from God. To then be given life is then to have fellowship with God, to be able to interact with him, to be able to understand him, understand his word. It's a powerful, powerful truth. So not only are we made alive, it all happens because of God's grace. And, you know, I look forward to meeting the Apostle Paul and understanding his personality a little bit. I'm kind of getting a glimpse here that he is so overwhelmed with this incredible truth and gospel and the salvation that is ours, the grace of God, that he can't help but just throw this little phrase in. And you see in your Bibles there, it's in parentheses probably. By grace you are saved, there at the end of verse 5. You can really translate that, by grace you are the ones who have been saved. You are the ones that have been saved. And he says, by grace because that's what it's taken. It's the grace of God to take you from death to life. You didn't merit it. You didn't earn it. I mean, what could you do anyway? You're dead. You can't do anything. God did it. That's why he throws in the grace of God here. Just remember, folks, it's the grace of God that has made you alive. And it is that grace of God that's made you alive that initiates then the second thing we see in verse 6, and hath raised us up together. So we have God's made us alive, but God has raised us up together. Again, we're looking at Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Again, the resurrection shows us the incredible power of God over sin and over death. If you want to look at it this way, we have been made alive in Jesus Christ, and we have received victory through him as well. We stand on the victory side, dear ones. He has raised us up. Now, what does that mean for us today? I encourage you just to go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 this morning. Listen to verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this: therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul likens us to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ, when he rose, we also are raised with him. And one day that will be completed when we go to be with him. But I want you to realize something. It says here, you are to walk in newness of life. So God has breathed life into you that you never had before. In addition to that, he has raised you up. I like to think of it this way. You could think of Jesus Christ lying in the tomb. And I don't know how all it happened, but because none of us were there, but he's lying in the tomb. His eyes open, and he's breathing again. He's been made alive. He once again, his body is able to live. And then he is raised up, and he stands. And he moves, he removes the grave clothes, and he walks in newness of life. And dear ones, the Apostle Paul in this passage is seeking to build for us a moving picture of who we are in Christ. In that we are people who are alive, and we are people who are walking in newness of life. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. And we can live that life now because we have a hope and a future of one day we'll be living it forever with him in heaven. We will be resurrected one day. Resurrected to be with our Lord, just like the Lord himself was raised. This passage, and I'll just read it for you in 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what it says. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. But I want you to know something. He's speaking to believers there, and he says, we know we have passed from death unto life. Let that grip your heart. You know, this salvation is... it's an incredible truth. You're alive. You've passed from death to life. And you're able to walk in newness of life. But then we look at the third thing in this text. In chapter 2, verse 6, he hath raised us up together. And then the third thing is he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Really? Really? Now realize these are things that have already been established and done. At the end of chapter 1, Jesus Christ is our head. We are his body. So if the head has risen, so has the body. If the head has been made alive, so is the body. If the head is in heaven and seated on the right hand of the Father, so therefore the body will sit next to Jesus Christ. You see, that vivid picture of who we are in Christ, it's made so much more full than just the here and the now. You see, salvation is something that was accomplished for you on the cross of Jesus Christ through the death, the burial, and resurrection. And then the grace of God came and touched your life so that you understood that for yourself, understood the incredible redemption that is yours, the forgiveness of sins. It's yours. But you know that all is building and is all truth all throughout your life as a believer on this earth, and it will culminate in the heavenly realm. Scripture tells us that we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about what that means? We are co-heirs. Chapter 1 of this book, it talks about the adoption of sons, and it talks about how we are made, given a position as rightful sons, right adult sons in the family of God. I mean, come on, we were dead. And folks, we're not doing anything here. This is God at work in our lives. And we're going to come down to verse 8 where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." We believe. Faith. And so there's this quickening, there's being made alive, there's being raised up, and there's being made to sit in the heavenly places with Christ. Let your mind run with that. Wow, really? With Christ? Now here's where I'm excited about this. I can't stop smiling about it. Verse 7, look at this. "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." You know, my dad is a hunter. And there's one room in our house that makes that very clear. It's called our den. And whenever we had guests come over as a young boy, inevitably the men would end up in the den. And there would be questions and stories told. Because the walls are full of what? The walls are full of antlers and a bear head and all kinds of different things that my dad was able to accomplish in his hunting. You know, you could say it's his trophy room, although he probably wouldn't have won any trophies. But it's his trophy room. And all the years of hunting are displayed as each horn, each antler has a story. You take one off the wall and it has the date, has the kind of bullet or kind of arrow. It's all there. And it's all marked, and it all tells a story. I got one for you ladies. Some of you ladies like to can. You like to put things away, store them up. And you go back in your pantry. I don't know why it is, but ladies sometimes, they like to open the doors of the pantry and like let everybody see. Ooh. Wow, you've been working hard. and you pull off the jar of the tomato sauce, and what's on top? It's the date, when it was done, and what's in it. You know, how much of certain ingredients are in it. You have all that stuff right there. And it's displayed, it's a testimony of your work and effort. Now listen to this. That in the ages to come, he might point out, he might demonstrate, okay, this is what he's doing, this is God, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Listen, you, as a child of God, are a trophy of his grace. And upon the shelves of time sit the trophies of his grace, that as the ages and the generations to come, they look and they see testimonies of the grace of God. You have children? You tell them about the grace of God in your life, because your children need to see the grace of God, and you are a testimony, Dad, of the grace of God. Through the ages to come, that he might show, it says it, show, I could say show off. You see, God is a gracious God. And he has done some incredible things down through history, and you are one of them. You are a testimony of his grace, and on the shelves of time sit you, a trophy of his grace. And it's not for your praise. I mean, the trophies on your shelf, they don't get the praise, you do. Dear ones, listen. You are a trophy of God's grace, and you sit there and are a testimony for all people, and I like to say even the angels, look into these things and are excited and thrilled about the incredible grace of God. You don't think much of yourself? I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, you're a trophy. You're a trophy of his grace. The work that has gone on in your life, Christ died for you. He died for you. And don't you forget it. You are in his trophy room. And all people of all ages walk through and see that. And they don't point to you, they point to God. Think about the missionary biographies that you have read. Think about how your mind is turned to how God did mighty things in their lives. Think about your own family, and maybe you're a second, third generation believing family. Think about your grandparents who went on before you and trusted Christ. What a testimony of the grace of God, and you are benefiting from it. But it's all because of God's grace. The ages to come, he might show the exceeding, that's surpassing, you can't get any more of this, riches of his grace in his kindness, or you could say his goodness, toward us through Christ Jesus. Yeah, this is an exciting passage. And I don't know how else to make it more clear or exciting. But God obviously wants to help us understand salvation in a 3D way, in a deeper way, to realize that yes, God has died for us. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us of our sins. But realize, too, you've been made alive. You have been raised up. And you've been made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's fullness there. That's richness. And God has done that so that he can sit you there on his shelf and show off his grace. You are displaying the grace of God. And this brings to mind Matthew chapter 5. Because we are told to be light and salt, that others might glorify God.